This is episode number 50 of the Fearless Presentations podcast, the fastest, easiest way to eliminate public speaking fear.
Want to absolutely eliminate public speaking fear? This podcast is the answer. Here's the guy who literally wrote the book on fearless presentations, Doug Stannert.
Hello, welcome to the Fearless Presentations podcast, brought to you by the Leaders Institute and fearlesspresentations.com. I'm your host, Doug Stannert, president of the Leaders Institute, and this is the podcast that helps people just like you get rid of public speaking fear and increase your success by increasing your confidence when you communicate. This is episode number 49, really approaching that one-year mark, and we're real excited about it. I'm going to do something a little different on today's podcast. I'm going to do something a little bit more personal, but it is related to public speaking and presentation skills, because it's based on an article that I wrote back in 2013 about about how solid of an investment that presentation skills training is. But I actually compared the investment in personal development training to like an MBA at the time, and my daughter is planning on going to college. Well, I mean, she's a senior in high school, and she's debating whether or not she wants to go to college. And so it's kind of created some discussions about how valuable is a college degree in today's world. So just wanted to share with you some of the data that I came across. It was actually a little shocking to me. Just so you know, the podcast is brought to you by fearlesspresentations.com. If you have questions about what we're doing here, or if you have some comments about today's podcast, you can always tweet me at Doug Stannert, at Doug Stannert, DougStannert, or at FP Class. At FP Class is the Twitter handle for Fearless Presentations. We've got a number of Fearless Presentations classes coming up in the next couple of weeks, and in fact, we got a class in Nashville and Washington D.C., Dallas, St. Louis, Los Angeles, Orlando, Portland, Boston, Cincinnati, Austin, and then later on in November, October, we have a class in Vienna. November, we have classes in Dublin and London. So if you're interested in any of those classes, make sure and register for the class at fearlesspresentations.com, because like I say every week, once those classes fill up, we have a maximum of 10 people per class, and once they fill up, you know, we have to close the registration, so we have to wait another 3, 4, 5 months or so, depending on the city. So let's get on with today's podcast. So in this week's podcast, we're going to do something a little differently. It's kind of funny. A couple things have gone on to make this kind of a unique podcast. Number one was I was going back through some of the old articles that I wrote back, you know, 2013, 2014, 2015, a while back anyway, and I found one about how to increase your security and income by taking presentation skills training classes. Obviously, since that's what I do, it was kind of a promotional thing, but I noticed that as I was kind of going back and looking through that article, it was about the difference between investing in professional development type training programs versus going back and getting a master's degree, which one was a bigger investment. And oddly enough, my daughter, who's a senior in high school this year, just started her senior year, took her SATs on Saturday, and I think she was a little shell-shocked, I think, when she finished her SAT. It was the first time she's taken it, and I'm not sure she was really confident at how well she did. And so she and I have had discussions over the last really year and a half or so about whether or not she actually wants to go to college. And I just always assumed that, you know, my kids would want to go to school, would want to go to college. But my daughter's actually seen it from a business standpoint. She's seeing it. She's wondering whether or not this is going to be a good investment. So I'm going to go back and go through some of the content from the article that I wrote back in 2013. And what I did over the weekend is I have updated this to include whether or not college is a good investment. So we're going to talk about professional development training. We're going to talk about master's degrees as well as college and universities, and how good of investment that is in today's world. And I think you might be a little surprised anyway. So one of the things that has come up is that recently I've watched news outlets do reports about the higher cost of a bachelor's degree. And as a business owner, I communicate with other with my peers, other business owners, other managers, people who are hiring workforce members and that kind of thing. And one of the things that I started to notice really about 3, 4, 5 years or so ago was that we, in those conversations that I was having with my peers, we started asking the question, is a college degree really worth it anymore? And in fact, just from a professional standpoint, I stopped putting a real big emphasis on the people that I'm hiring, the trainers and the people that go out and do my the professional development training for the Leaders Institute, public speaking classes, leadership classes, team building events, that kind of stuff. I stopped putting as much emphasis on that college degree. That was always a big part of the profession. You know, you wanted professional people to be able to teach. And one of the things I've kind of figured out is in recent years, that's not nearly as important. And so I started talking with some of my counterparts and asking them what they think. More and more, the response to that question, is a college degree worth it anymore? More and more, the reply back has been a really reluctant kind of, I don't really think so. And so basically when I went back and updated the article that I wrote back in 2013, I kind of took that into account. Now, just so you know, I don't want you to shoot the messenger. All I'm doing is just reporting what I found doing research. I'm not giving you my own personal opinion here, just kind of setting the facts out that I found anyway. So one of the things that I wrote back in 2013 was that if you really want to get promoted, if you really want to increase your salary, then the ability to be able to stand up and present your eyes effectively in front of a group is still one of, if not the most effective, the most important, the most sought after skills in the business world. And quite often an investment in presentation skills training can have such a positive effect on not only your income, but your security within that company. Because people who can present their ideas well and who can motivate and persuade and inspire other people around them, they tend to move up through the ranks of organizations more quickly than those who have a challenge or who show nervousness or fear when they speak. So when I went back in 2013 and I started doing research on, you know, what the value of the higher level degrees were, because at the time, the big debate was, should I go back and get an MBA, or should I go back and get a professional degree, or should I just continue to do training? Should I go and do some professional development training? And according to the U.S. Census back then, there was a report titled The Big Payoff that gave statistical data that the average person with an MBA or a master's degree makes approximately $9,000 more per year than a person with a bachelor's degree. So that comes out to be about $400,000 more in income over a lifetime, assuming that the master's degree is acquired right after you get your bachelor's degree. So that's a whole lot less if you go back at the age of, you know, 45 or 50 and get your master's degree. That lifetime income increase is going to be dramatically less. But that means that if you paid cash for the 2 years of graduate school with no financing, and you get the entire degree in 2 years. So basically, you kind of quit your full-time job and do just that more often than not if you want to get it in that time frame. You keep your full-time job through that. I guess in order to really break even, you'd have to keep your full-time job. So you'd have to do that two-year degree plus keep your full-time jobs. You'd break even at the end of 10 years. So if you and so it's about 80 grand, you know, $40,000 a year. And if it's $8,000 more per year, that means it would take you 10 years to pay that back. If you finance any part of that $80,000, it's going to take you a lot longer because in 20 years, you might get a return on the investment, but it's going to take a while anyway. Whereas what I was showing people back in 2013 was that the lifetime benefit of presentation skills training, going to a fearless presentations class or going to a community college even and taking some presentation skills classes, a good presentation skills training class takes it maybe takes a couple of days to complete. Like Fearless Presentation is only 2 days. If you take a class at a community college, you might be able to find one in 2 days. It might take a few weeks, though, but definitely less than a semester in order to take the whole thing. And the investment for that is, you know, like it's $9.95. The Fearless Presentations class is less than $1,000 to take the entire class. So it's a whole lot less than an MBA. And one of the things that we found out at the time anyway is that is that in a recent study performed by the think tank back then, it was the Center for Talent Innovation. And there was an article back then called How to Get Promoted Now. And the research found that the number one attribute to being promoted was having what they call the executive presence. The executive presence was composed of what they called three main attributes. The one was gravitas, one was communication skills, and then the last thing was appearance. And when they described gravitas in the article, it was described as the ability to project self-confidence and poise under pressure. And in the communication skills area, they specifically called attention to presentation skills, but also assertiveness, persuasive skills, and the ability to read an audience. So for appearance, you would think that appearance would be like, you know, how they dress and that kind of thing. But the way they, and then that was covered somewhat in the article, but they were really more important to what they really focused more on in the article anyway was that the person looked polished and looked really pulled together. And basically, since developing and strengthening each one of those three aspects are an essential part of the Fearless Presentations class, you know, basically we help people look better when they're in front of a group. We help them communicate more effectively. We help them be more persuasive. We help them improve those communication skills. We help them develop that gravitas, that self-confidence in front of a group. So since all three of those were a part of what helped people get promoted, according to that article anyway, the things that we were focusing on were the things that were going to help people get promoted faster than really any other skills that you can develop out in the marketplace. So And what we find, by the way, in teaching this class over the last really 20 years or so, is that many of the participants of the class are promoted very shortly after strengthening these skills. So people go through the Fearless Presentations class, and then 3 months later, 4 months later, 5 months later, 6 months later, a year later, we get an email from, hey, Doug, guess what? I got promoted. And then 3 months later, 6 months later, hey, Doug, guess what? I got promoted again. So that happens over and over and over again because this is one of those skill sets that people notice. When you get really good at it, people really, really notice the difference and the change, and they start seeing us as more promotable, a better leader, and that kind of thing. So, assuming that just a single promotion occurs over a 20-year period of time, that person would receive basically $100,000 in additional salary. So let's say that person just gets one promotion in the entire 20 years based on the skills developed in that Fearless Presentations class. If you break that down, that's only a couple thousand dollars a year that they're in increased salary, but over a 20-year period of time, that's $100,000, $100K. So the good news, though, is that quite often those graduates, like the one I was talking about before, they get promoted multiple times within a 2 or 3 year period of time. So it's a much bigger bump in pay. So that $1,000, less than $1,000, the investment that they made in themselves for professional development tends to have a much bigger payoff than what folks can get if they go even get a master's degree or an MBA and that kind of thing. So we've seen that, by the way, for years and years and years. And so that was what the original article was about. So I'll kind of add my 2018 additional content here just so you get the benefit of some of the research that I've done recently. So basically, I entitled the new section of that article called "So Is a College Degree Actually Worth It?" And I'll kind of tell you, you know, my story a little bit about why I ended up going to college. I was the first person in my family to go to college, and technically, I guess my uncle is a pastor. So, and he went to seminary, and I'm not sure if that was a four year degree or not. But I guess technically, I'm the second. But before me, though, all my other uncles, all my cousins, everybody kind of went into the military, at least for one tour, and then they started the careers afterwards. So since the day that I graduated from the university, though, since that day that I graduated, I can't remember anyone ever even asking me to see my diploma. In fact, I think I know where it is, but nobody's ever asked me for it. Now, I do remember when shortly before I graduated from college, I applied to, you know, three or four different companies, and each one of them asked for a transcript. So I remember it was a small fee, $5 or $10 or something like that, to get an official transcript sent from my college. But that was all done before I actually got my degree, before I actually finished my degree. So since then, I can't remember anybody even ever asking me for my transcript or even what college I went to. I mean, there have been interviews that I was on early on in my career where folks would say, hey, the person I was interviewing with would say, hey, did you go to college? And I would say, yes. And then that would be it. They would never, you know, did you graduate? Yeah, sure, I did. I got a degree. Never even asked me what my degree was in. So it's kind of strange. From shortly after I kind of graduated from school, I started to see that college degree wasn't necessarily as important as what people had made it out to be anyway. Now, just so you know, it did open up a lot of doors for me. In fact, my career as a speaking coach really started off because I had a college degree. The company that I first started training with was accredited for continuing education units. And so as a result, we had to have a college degree to actually be an instructor, get trained to be an instructor for that company. And so I wouldn't have had that experience without my degree. But knowing what I know now, was that absolutely necessary to get to where I am now? Probably not. I mean, I would have learned it some other way. I was doing so much studying and so many other things that I probably would have acquired it some other way. So my daughter, I mentioned before, who's a senior in high school this year, a couple of years ago, she got all excited about photography and fashion. And so she got a part-time job at a clothing store. And after about 2 or 3 months, she got fired. So she actually takes after me in that respect, I think. But when so as a result, she started her own company. She started her own company making shirts. And what she does is she, you know, I say she sells shirts. She actually designs unique apparel. So very one of a kind type things that are unique just to her. She's not, she's kind of creating her own designs and everything. And so she sources out the manufacturing of all that stuff. And again, she started doing this when she was 16 and a half, maybe years old. So fairly young, but she found a place that she could get her garments made for a whole lot less than what she can sell them for. And so she's making a profit. So in just a couple hours a week, she makes more money than what she could make working for an hourly wage as a teenager, by far, right? So you know, the entrepreneur bug is already kind of bitter. And so she came up to me, I would say maybe a year or so ago, and it was kind of a shocker because she kind of looked me in the eye and she said, Dad, if I go to college and I study fashion, they're just going to teach me stuff that everybody else has already done. I don't want to do stuff that everybody else has already done. I want to create my own stuff. And I was like, oh man, holy crap, I've now warped my child. You know, I'm pretty much, because I always tell people when they come to work for the Fearless Presentations company or for the Leaders Institute, just in general, I always tell them when they start teaching for us that one of the first things that will occur in their lives is that they will become chronically unemployable. It's almost impossible after you do this type of work for any extended period of time to go back to a normal kind of 9-to-5 job. And my daughter has seen me do that for years and years and years now, her whole life, really. And so as a result, you know, I think I've kind of warped her. So I was a little nervous, though. I'm like, you know, that was always instilled that this is really, really important. The college degree is really important. So we had a number of long talks about this issue. And as much as I was trying to convince her that she needs to kind of look more closely at college, the more she actually started to convince me, because she was concerned about really two things. She was concerned about the value of the education that she was going to receive at a university, which is what she talked about before. But the second thing that she talked about consistently was the cost associated with the degree. You know, one of the things that she would say over and over to me was that, Dad, I can't see starting my career $100,000 in debt. Right? So when she gets out in the business world, starts making money, she's already in debt. And in some parts of Texas where we live, that's a house, you know, so that's a lot of money. So after much debate, I decided to do more research on the subject. And basically, that's what I've kind of included in the rest of the podcast here. So here's a cost-benefit analysis of a university degree in 2016 based on the what's out on the web anyway right now. And you know, you can subtitle this, is it worth it? Is a college degree really worth it? Now, keep in mind that I'm pulling data from sources on the web, and all of the sources seem to be credible. And it seems to be consistent, by the way. I didn't see a lot of contrary numbers. And so all I've really done is taken that data and then put it into an Excel spreadsheet and just calculated it out. So if you disagree with me, again, don't shoot the messenger here. You know, according to one of the articles that I found, it's called it's from the Balance website, by the way, and the article is called "Why a College Degree Is Still Worth It." So they're taking the pro side, saying that as expensive as college is, and how long and how much, and even though a lot of college students are graduating with college debt and that kind of thing, it's still really worth it. The reason why they were saying that is because the average high school graduate makes, on the median anyway, income is about $35,256. The average university graduate makes substantially more. The average is $59,124 per year. So it's basically roughly $24,000 more, about $24,000 more each year that a college degree will earn. The holder of it. So now, in addition to that, this article also stated that the average cost of a four-year degree is a little over $80,000. So, and by the way, that's a four-year degree at a state school, in-state tuition. So if it's a out-of-state tuition, or if it's a private school, it's significantly higher than that. So about 80 grand. So that's 4 years. So, and that is if the person going to that college graduates in 4 years, so they get their degree in the 4 year time period, and they're only financing maybe half of that. So basically, they're probably working part time and that kind of thing too. So the average student loan debt in the United States right now is about $35,000. And by the way, from here on out, I'll just kind of use round numbers just to make it a little easier, especially since you guys are listening to me. But if you want to see the numbers here, it's on my website, fearlesspresentations.com. It's, if you're listening to this sometime around the time that we recorded it, it'll be the newest thing on the blog post anyway. Or you can go into show notes and it'll take you to this part of the website as well. So according to these numbers, a college degree over a lifetime is going to generate an additional just under $600,000 in income for that student. So that's assuming that the person graduated within 4 years of so basically sometime somewhere around the age of 23. And works until the age of 62, net income, that extra almost $24,000 that they're going to generate per year with their college degree is going to be just a little under $600,000, about $595,000 in income. Now, that assumes that the student goes to a state school, graduated in 4 years, only finances half of the cost, and pays off the student loan in 10 years. So all of those are really big assumptions in today's world, but that assumes all those. So that's kind of the best case scenario based on the numbers from this article. If the student takes 6 years to graduate, goes to a private school, still only finances half of the costs, but takes 20 years to pay off the debt, then that graduate would net an additional $300,000 over a 37-year career. So shorter time period because it's taken them longer to graduate, and the higher cost associated with a private school increases the net, or decreases the net anyway. So basically we're ranging from the benefit of a college degree based on these numbers from the low end, $300,000 in a lifetime over a 37-year career, up to almost $600,000. So it's a big, huge range. So those numbers looked feasible. And in fact, after reading that article, I was thinking, okay, great. I feel better about still recommending that my daughter go to college, because it still looks like a pretty good investment. You know, $600,000 over a lifetime, that's a pretty good investment. So, but I wanted to get a second opinion. So I looked at the Student Debt Relief's website. And by the way, again, if you want to look at these, all of these other websites or so, just go to the show notes and they'll take you there. But the numbers were really similar. So they weren't really contrary. The numbers showed that the average four-year degree cost $85,000 at a state school, which is about $5,000 different. And then the difference in income was just under $25,000. So it's really, really close to what the other article was saying. So, so I'm assuming that both of the articles kind of pulled their data from the same location, maybe Bureau of Labor Statistics or something like that, would be my guess. And that the difference is just the years, you know. So every year, college tuition increases just a little bit, and income sometimes increases, that kind of thing. So I think that's probably the difference there, because they were really, really close. And so I'm assuming that they're pretty accurate. So let's analyze the true cost of that college degree and see if it really is worth it. So according to these sources, and by the way, I went back to since I saw the similarity, I went back to the Bureau of Labor Statistics and double-checked it with that as well. So according to those three sources, the degree really looks like a good investment. That is, until you dig just a little bit deeper. So according to my spreadsheets, after I calculated this out, the average college graduate doesn't actually break even until he or she is 42 years old. So if you go to a four-year degree, well, it depends. If you can graduate in 4 years, 5 years, or 6 years, those were the three calculations that I did. So based on the cost per year for a degree and how much on average the student will have in debt, how long it takes, and then if the person paid off that debt in either 10 years or 20 years. So I calculated all of those different scenarios in the spreadsheet. And basically what I came up with was, on average, the person doesn't break even with a college degree until that graduate gets to be 42 years old. So on the upside, the added income pays off the cost and the debt of the degree by the age of 37. On the downside, though, some graduates don't break even until they're 49. So, which was scary to me, right? So, and some of these kids that are going to school right now that are trying to get their degree will have their kids will be in college before they actually get a benefit from the degree that they worked so hard to get. So that's pretty scary, actually. So, and the scenario for that, by the way, the 49-year-old getting the benefit, not getting the benefit until the person's 49, the scenario for that would be if the student goes to a private university, much more expensive, takes 6 years to graduate, so it takes much longer every time for each year, that each additional year that it takes to graduate. Number one, the costs go up for the education, and they're actually losing income that they would be making if they were working earlier. So so those things are in play with that one. And assuming, by the way, if that was the case, then the total cost for that degree would be about $286,000. So that's taken 6 years to get the private education, or the private university education. So assuming that student still only financed half of that, and it took that student 20 years now, because that's a much higher amount, 20 years to pay off that debt, the total interest in that 20 years for half of that cost would be about $103,000 just in interest. So the total with those two things added together, the cost of the degree and then plus the interest, that's $389,000. And then the student would also miss out on working full time for that 6 years. And so if you subtract that out, the average wage for a high school graduate is about $37,000. Multiply that by six, and it comes out to be about $600,000 more. So in fact, the number that I came up with was $613,000 for the whole thing. So basically that's the $224,000 in lost wages, plus the $389,000 in cost to get the degree. So all total, you're looking at $613,000. That's a big chunk of money to pay for a degree. So if the average college graduate makes $24,500 extra per year, it would take a total of 25 years to break even. Since it took 6 years to graduate, the student likely started working at the age of 24 or 25. That means that that student doesn't have any return on that investment until he's 49 or 50 years old. So I'm 46 right now. So when I saw that number, I was shocked. You know, so that's crazy. I mean, that's one of those things that we've got to do something about this. Otherwise, this is just going to get worse and worse and worse. So now I know that sounds dreadful, but financially speaking, colleges and universities today can be a pretty bad risk. I'm not telling you not to go to school, by the way. Don't go back and say, oh, Doug is saying I shouldn't go to college, I shouldn't go to school. That's not what I'm saying here. But what I will say, though, is that to the answer to the college, should I go to college? Well, the answer is, well, it depends. It depends on what you want to do with your life. So if you want to be a doctor or an engineer or a school teacher or an architect, then yeah, I mean, you're going to have to go and get that degree. Otherwise, those professions aren't going to be open to you. You want to be an attorney, you got to go get your degree, and you have to go to law school. So, you know, those kind of things are careers where you have no choice. But if you want to be a business owner, if you want to be an artist, you want to work in technology, if you want to be in the service industry, any of those kind of things, then you probably don't. you probably don't want to take that time and effort and expense to go to college, because it's probably not going to pay off for you. So after doing all this research, I think I kind of support my daughter's decision. Now, just in closing, just to wrap it up, just for fun, I went back, since I'm a big spreadsheet geek. I like to run the numbers and kind of see how things work out. I went back and I said, because all of these articles that I read, every single one of them was consistent that, you know, should you go to college still? Yeah, you should, right? I mean, it still is a good investment to go to college. But again, like I said, until you start running those numbers a little bit more, one of the things that I did with my spreadsheet is I said, okay, let's assume that person who didn't go to college, and again, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Please don't send me a bunch of hate emails, you know, if you're a college professor or something like that. But let's just say that the young person that decided not to go to college, didn't want to go to school, let's say that person decided to live meagerly just like a college student would. What I found in the research was that the average room and board for a college student per year was about $10,800. So that's for an apartment, that's for food, that's for gas, that's for everything, room and board, everything. You know, that's the cost to kind of live off of, $10,800, which is extremely meager. I mean, it's really tough to live off that. You know, but I remember those days when I was in college. I remember eating bologna sandwiches because that was all I could afford, and ramen noodles, and, you know, because they were like 10 cents a package and I could make that into a meal. And so, you know, we kind of get used to that. So if that young person who graduates from high school and defers going to college decides to go to work and they make that average amount that these articles are saying the average high school graduate makes, about $35,000 a year. And they only spent $10,800 of that for living expenses, just like they would in the 4 years if they went to college. Then that leaves an extra almost over $26,000 of additional income that they would have left over that they could save or invest. So let's just say they just did that for 4 years. They took that 26 grand and they just set it aside. And well, let's not say they set it aside. Let's say that they put it in something really, really safe. They invested that 26 grand each year in something like a money market fund or a treasury bond. I think treasury bonds are paying right at, you know, 2.9%, 3%, something like that. So something really, really safe like that. So they invested that 26,000. So at the end of the 4 years, they would have a little over $111,000 in savings or investment, and that investment would be generating 2.9% each year in a very really 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 safe investment. Well, at the end, if they did nothing else, basically they if that young person didn't set anything else aside for retirement, they didn't save any money, didn't have anything, they just basically from that point on, from that fourth year on, they spent every single dime that they made on living. then but when they retired at the age of 62, they'd have a little over $800,000 in the bank, compared to the $600,000 that was kind of the max in the for the college degree. So with all that being said, the numbers anyway don't really show it as to be a great investment anymore. So after doing the numbers, I can't say I'm not real happy that my daughter is not really looking forward to going to college. I mean, that was kind of one of the high points of my life anyway. But I think I got to support her decision anyway. So if you disagree with me, that's great. You'll likely be able to persuade me back the other way because it took me a long time to kind of get to the point where I was persuaded. But, you can leave that in the comments on the Fearless Presentations page if you want. So but if you agree with me, disagree with me, give us some comments and see where we go. See if I can be persuaded back to the other side anyway. So thanks a lot for being a part of the Fearless Presentations podcast this week, though.
Subscribe to this podcast for new public speaking secrets each week.